My name is Michelle Farley, and we're doing here the workshop, Sharpening Your Tool Set. And I see a lot of ladies wanting to sharpen the tools. And what we're going to do is a semi-interactive workshop, and it's very different from everything you've experienced so far. The loving touch may or may not come, you know, to you as you have been experiencing, but God is over all of it. And you know, sometimes he loves us into his will, and other times he provokes us a little bit more forcefully. So I just want to warn you right now that this is going to be God giving you a starting place so that you can see yourself growing. Okay, that's what this is about. That's the whole design of the whole thing. So I just want to make sure everybody got a bookmark. What we're going to be doing, we're going to be going through these topics, and we're going to be evaluating ourselves where we're at. 1 through 5. 1 through 2 is going to be, this is the first you heard about it. 3, 4, 5 is you're doing this. You know. And when I start talking, then you're going to rate yourself on that category. Okay? So Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The first topic we're going to be talking about is headship. And I loved it because Carol did that sign of the cross. And you know, we do marriage counseling, and that is one of the things that we're always telling these couples is, first you have your vertical relationship, your relationship with the Lord if you're a believer, and then you have your horizontal relationships. And it does, it forms the sign of the cross because God is all over it. And you know it is because I never met Carol before, and she's the same, giving out that same godly counsel that we all need, and that's the Lord. You know, he never changes. His word is there, and he gives you these tools. So headship is, the question for this category is, who is Lord over your life? If you're a born-again believer, Christ should be the head, and your life should line up in submission to him. If you're still on the throne of your life, making all of your own decisions, not consulting him in anything, then you're not honoring him as the head. And you live in a very precarious place. Your Christianity is questionable. The most important relationship that we have is our relationship with Jesus. And if we are a child of the living God, our relationship is restored with the Father through the shed blood of his Son. And this is our vertical relationship. This relationship we need to maintain daily. All other relationships are our horizontal relationships, and they are going to line up with the will of God if you're keeping this one right. And as you heard Carol's testimony, she was walking with the Lord. She was doing everything right. And that whole thing was not about her. And she, you know, if we could grasp that when we're going through it, if we're really keeping this straight, God's going to speak to our hearts and he's going to tell us something like that. Especially if you're the one that's walking that fine line. And you have this tragedy come in from out of nowhere. Having been born again, we become a part of the body of Christ, of which Christ is the head. And each member has its function. Each member works in unity to fulfill the purpose of Christ's bride. And what is that? That's to be the light unto the world, to spread the gospel, to edify one another, and to give glory to God. That's what we do as the body of Christ. That's our purpose as Christ's bride. Now, God gives us 2 resources to accomplish this. And the first one is his Holy Spirit. When we accept Christ as our personal Savior, the Lord gives us a new heart. He puts his Spirit within us to inhabit that heart. And then he seals us until the day that our bodies are redeemed. Now, how many of you have experienced being in the room when someone has passed away? Okay. And how many of you have been to a funeral where there's an open casket? Okay, so you guys have seen and understand and get the concept that body in there is just the shell of the person. It's not the person, that the spirit is missing. You see, our spirit is our essence, our character, our identity. So when Christ died and he rose again from the dead and he promised his Holy Spirit to inhabit us, he gave us his spirit, his essence and his identity. So what Carol was saying, to play off of that, we need to die to ourselves, because when we do that, then his light shines through, and it's him that people are seeing. It's not us. It's not who we are. You see, Paul, he grasped the concept of this, of the presence of the living God living within him, because he said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And it was kind of like Miracle-Gro to his walk. In fact, his walk became a race. And he wasn't looking behind him. He was looking ahead of him, because he wanted to finish that race. And he knew that he had the empowerment of the Holy Spirit within him to do just that. So when we recognize and we have a greater awareness of Christ's Spirit and presence living within us, and we have the power of that Spirit, it makes us thirst for the things of God. It enables us to surrender ourselves, our selfishness, and to line up underneath the headship of Christ. Now, with that in mind, I want you to evaluate yourself from 1 to 5 under headship. 3, 4, 5 being, you are allowing the Lord to be on the throne. You're submitting your will to his. You're no longer saying, this is my ambitions and my course, and this is it, and without consultation with God, and without deferring to his plan for your life. And 1, 2 being, this is the first, you're just a brand new baby believer, and this is, you're in a place of not honoring God as your head. Okay, now we need to be truthful and honest, because I really want you to use this bookmark as this is a beginning day, so that you can chart some growth and pray about the areas that we're all weak in. Nobody has arrived, because we're not home yet. We're still here on this earth. There's still a purpose and a plan for us here. So be honest in your evaluation, because God knows where we're all at. Okay, the second resource that we are given are spiritual gifts. We're gifted with the gifts that will enable us to fulfill the purpose and the plan that God has for our life. And everyone has different gifts, and they all operate in different degrees. Now, gifts and talents are different. When we're being formed in the womb, God is giving us these talents and abilities that he does want us to use for his glory and his honor. So some of us may have musical talents, artistic talents, talents that involve your hands with craftsmanship, and others may have intellectual talents. There's all kinds of different talents. But these talents are not spiritual gifts. We receive spiritual gifts when we become born again. The question for this category is, are we using them in service to the Lord? Now, how many of you know your spiritual gifts? How many have taken a spiritual gift survey and done this? Okay, after this session is over, I've got some packets over here, and it's, you got to be kind of careful, because, and here Lisa again hit on everything I was going to talk about here, but I want you to take one of these, and in your free time, whether, you do it today, preferably today, but, you can do this later, Sunday, or, when you get back home. But take the test. And if you've taken one already, take it again. Because, God doesn't just give us 1 or 2 gifts. The more we use our gifts, the more gifts he gives us. The more we find him to be faithful, the more we grow. This is like the second most important thing that you can do for yourself, is to step out in faith, to find out what those spiritual gifts are, and then to use them. Because when you use them, you become closer to the Lord, more dependent on the Lord. You see him moving, and you get so excited, because, that's the abundant life. That's the place to be. When we're growing, we're so connected with God, we're keeping this vertical relationship, that we are stepping out in faith in all these areas. And for those of us who are children of the living God and who are truly honoring him, he is going to give us even more, because he honors what you do with those first gifts. So if you really want to connect with God and live that abundant life, you're going to want to, take the spiritual gifts survey every now and again to see, what else has he gifted you with? What is he burdening you with? On the back of this spiritual gift survey is a 40 Days for Life. Okay, this started on February 12th, and it's a time for us, the body of Christ, to come together and pray for those that are being slaughtered through abortion. Pray and fast. Okay, so on the back of the packet, there's a little reminder that we are in that season. They do it twice a year. This is the beginning of the first 40 days, okay? Also, I have put on here Kathy Veazey, just a dear sister in the Lord. Her swap meet ministry that Lisa was talking about is called Life at Conception Ministry. And, you know, it's awesome. It is just so awesome. When you're serving God, the time is like this, you know, and you don't feel the aches and pains or anything. You're just, like, loving on people. And we have these models of, you know, the different stages and some sonograms and of the different stages. And one, they just happen to be of my daughter. She's got, you know, little Bryn in there, and he's due in April. And so we're, like, putting the pictures out. And, you know, people stop by. And then there's an opportunity here for if you take the spiritual gifts test and God is burdening your heart for pro-life issues, then, you know, Kathy Veazey is looking for a co-facilitator to help her with the Beauty for Ashes. Now, you know, 1 in 5 have had an abortion, 1 in 5 women. Do you understand that statistic? And I was just recently reading this book that the birth control pill is an abortifacient. And that means that it works at 3 different levels, and I didn't write these down, but I probably should have. But, you know, at the if it doesn't stop the conception, and I forget what the second, you know, thing it does, but the last one that it will do is after there's the conception of the sperm and the egg, it will not allow that to implant onto the wall of the uterus. So the baby is aborted. So, you know, I think it's like 500 million babies. I don't remember the exact number, or 5 million babies, I think it is, something around there, that have been aborted since Roe v. Wade. That's not including any of the ones we just don't even know about, okay? So I want to make an awareness of that, because it's a big issue, you know, and I really do believe that the tide is turning, because if we speak about it and make an awareness of it and pray about it and ask God to not pour out his full wrath and judgment on us for what we're doing, you know, it's just exactly like if you read in the Old Testament, you know, the arms of Molech, and they put the babies on them and they offer it to the idols. That's exactly what we're doing when we abort our children. So I'm encouraging you that 40 Days for Life, pray about it. Beauty for Ashes. It's a confidential time. And her next session is on here. I think it's April 26th. Confidential. Does it on a Thursday night and a back way thing. Nobody's really there at the church on that night. And you go through a workbook that will restore you. If you haven't been restored, if you've had an abortion and you haven't expelled, I should say, the anger that is so deep inside of you that comes out when little things happen, and you don't understand where this anger's coming from, it's really probably a high probability that it's because you had an abortion and you haven't dealt with it. So I would encourage you to call Kathy Veazey. She's got an email here, and on the email address, there should be an A. I put in a little A there. So it's alife@conception@gmail.com. That's her web address. And then she also does the drive-through prayer. So on the back, I'm just putting a plug in for Kathy Veazey, because you know what? We're women, and 1 in 5 of us has had an abortion. So we all, I know the Lord is burdening our hearts for this. And then there's other places that, you know, you want to take your spiritual gifts, and you want to use them, and sometimes, you know, we're new to the Lord and we don't know where to plug in. So this will help you to do that. And I also just want to say that God does not withhold any good gift from those who love him. So, you know, if you have 1 or 2 gifts and you're just on fire and operating in those 2, you know, doesn't he want to give it to us abundantly? He just wants to bless us. So I just encourage you, take it again. Now, Ephesians 4:12 tells us, our spiritual gifts are for the equipping of the saints. And we're going to look at a little example here. of one spiritual gift in operation. But the principle behind this gift is really applicable to all spiritual gifts and should be like really the underlying motivator for why you would want to step out and use your gifts. Okay, so spiritual gift that we're going to look at is encouragement. 1 Samuel 23:16 tells us, And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Notice what Jonathan does. Jonathan doesn't make himself necessary to God. I mean, he doesn't make David necessary to him. He strengthens his hand. He comforts David and he puts his hand to God. He strengthens his hand in God. He leaves his friend strong in God, resting in God, safe in God. He detaches his dear David from himself and he attaches him to his very present help. Then Jonathan went into the wood and Jonathan went into his house and David abode in the wood with God. The next time we read of David being in serious trouble, he had no Jonathan to strengthen his hand. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. 1 Samuel 30:6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. If he had leaned on Jonathan, if Jonathan had made himself necessary to David, he would not have leaned on his rock and proved the glorious strength of our Lord. His whole life would have been lived on a lower level. Who knows how many of the songs in the book of Psalms would have been left unwritten, to the great loss of the glory of God and to the church of all ages. So let us not weaken those whom we love by weak sympathy, but let us love them enough to detach them from ourselves and to strengthen their hand in God. Now on spiritual gifts, you're going to 3, 4, 5. You know your gifts. You're using them. You're pointing them to Jesus. You're strengthening their hand in God. 1, 2. You just came to the Lord. You don't know what your gifts are, or you have been with the Lord for a very long time, and you're just not using your gifts. And you need to pick up one of these surveys and really spend some time with the Lord on it. So go ahead and evaluate yourself on that. Our next category is abiding in the vine. Now, we cannot continue to serve and give out if we fail to abide. Even Jesus told us in John 15 that apart from him, we can do nothing. So what does abiding entail? And I loved, living the word. I love that. That's so awesome because abide, life, Jesus. So we're reading the word. We're applying the word to our lives. We're submitting our will to it. We're praying. We're talking to God. We're putting our things before him. We're interceding on the behalf of others. That's what abiding entails. We're finding out what God's will is, and then we're obeying it. So, this is the question. Can a vine, and God was glorious to help me walk by a vine today. Can a vine, or I should say a branch, which is us. Well, let me start here. In the great metaphor of Jesus being the vine and we being the branches that have been grafted into the vine, is it possible to produce fruit if the branch is apart from the vine?
No.
You guys are good. Is it the visual? No. No, it dies. It's impossible. It's not connected. And the same goes for us. If we're not reading the Word of God, and if we're not talking to him, we get disconnected, and this is not growing. This is dying. We close our minds and our hearts to its truth and call on our lives. We squander our time, our talents, and our resources, our spiritual gifts, our deepest needs go unmet and we become what? Discontent. We need to be refreshed in the Word of God so that we have something to give out and so that we can hear the Father. He directs us and speaks us and answers our prayers many times through the reading of the Word. He meets us there. You know, true conversation goes both ways. You can't always be the one talking. You got to sit back and you got to listen sometimes. We got to wait upon the Lord. We got to read His Word. And then we got to be obedient to it. So under abiding in the vine, you want to rate yourself 3, 4, 5. You know, you're daily in the Word. You're talking to the Lord all throughout the day because, you know, you really have a heart for Him to live in you and through you. You don't want it to be you. You're tired of your past. You did come to the Lord. You're a new creation. And then 1, 2, you get the drift on 1, 2. And 1, 2, we may be at 1, 2. And there's nothing wrong with that because maybe that's why you're here today and sharpening your tool set, because we got to start somewhere, right? I mean, we were all babies. We all were at 1 or 2. So hopefully the Lord and the Spirit is pricking our hearts. So when we abide, we're going to be like a tree planted by the river of life. Loyalty. You know, loyalty truly is the human test of our salvation with purpose of heart. If we're true to the end, our reward is going to be great. If we fall away, the end thereof is destruction. The question is, have we purposed in our hearts to remain loyal and faithful to our Lord Jesus? To live an uncompromised life? To stand against the flow of conformity? To stand in the gap for the fatherless, the unborn, and the widow? You know, Daniel 1:8, we read that Daniel purposed in his heart not to eat of the delicacies of the king. Now, when did Daniel do this? Did he do this when the platter was coming into him and all the aroma was wafting through his nostrils? He can see how the textures and just how luscious it looked. Do you think that's when he purposed in his heart to not eat of the delicacies? No. He did it in advance. He did it in advance. Well, if you don't know much about me, the one thing that you may be aware of is that I live in an expectation of the Lord coming back at any moment. I am so very much aware of our brothers and sisters in Christ dying for their faith in South Sudan, in Egypt, 60,000 in Syria, most of them Christians, over the last 2 years with this Arab Spring uprising, have died for their faith in Christ. India, China, Iran, Iraq, and the list is going on and on. It is escalating. A day is coming when we here in America, the bubble that we're living in now, it's punctured. Persecution will be in our midst. And what are you going to say when they say, deny Jesus Christ or you die? And I'm telling you, ladies, if we wait for that moment, if we don't purpose in our hearts beforehand and get with the Lord on that question, we will deny Him. We will. Look at Peter. Peter had advanced warning from our Lord. You're going to deny me 3 times before the cock crows twice. And the cock crowed once. And Peter kept denying Him. He didn't purpose in his heart in advance. He shut up. Yeah, I'm gonna stand for Christ. I'm going to stand for you, Jesus. But you know, it wasn't forever that Peter failed. He got a second chance, didn't he? Didn't he die upside down on a cross for his faith? How do you know you're going to get a second chance? We may not get that second chance. So I am here to exhort you today to get with the Lord while you're doing communion and cover that question. Get serious with Him about your faith, because you know what? Persecution is coming here. And we need to be ready. We need to be strong And if you need to get encouragement on how to get courage and strength, then read Joshua 1, because our Lord will give it to you. Ask and you shall receive. Who knows how fast the day is approaching? Matthew 10:28. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but fear him who can kill both body and soul and send you into hell. Now Barnabas purposed in his heart. He set forth in his thoughts and his feelings and in his mind. Acts 11:23 tells us, Barnabas, when he was come and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. They would continue with him. When Barnabas went to that great, wicked, rich city of Antioch, and he found people there who had lately turned to our Lord Jesus, this little cluster, just a little cluster of believers in the midst of tens of thousands of idolaters. And don't you feel like that? Don't you feel like you're like this little cluster amongst all these people that are conforming to what is happening in our nation, in this state? You know, ladies, we may not be able to do much, but we can do that. We can cleave to the Lord. We can continue with him. The Greek word indicates persistent loyalty. Persistent loyalty. It is the same word used by our Lord in John 15:9. Continue ye in my love. Westcott writes, the love of Christ is, as it were, the atmosphere in which the disciple lives. It is not something realized in a momentary moment, crisis, but enjoyed continuously. And this enjoyment depends on the human side, the will of man. It can be made the subject of a command. Continue ye in my love. We need a purpose in our hearts with persistent loyalty to cleave unto the Lord, to continue with him. One more example, because I really think this loyalty, this persistent loyalty, is truly the human test, the evidence of our salvation. Genesis 39:9, Joseph replying to Pharaoh's wife, who desires to entrap him in adultery. Joseph telling her, Pharaoh has made me second in command, only to you, his wife. How can I do this wickedness and sin against God? Do we acknowledge, like Joseph, that when we conform and compromise or willingly sin, that we're sinning against God? Have you purposed in your heart to exercise persistent loyalty to our Lord? And with that, we're going to rate ourselves on loyalty. 1 through 5, you've made this decision. Or 1, 2, you're just becoming aware of it, you're contemplating it, and you're going to go talk to the Lord about it and get serious with it. You know, some of us need to be reminded that we've been set apart. We're a new creation. All things have become new. To put off the former conduct, renew our minds, put on the new man, which God created in righteousness and in holiness. We are not our own. We have been bought at a price. The precious blood of Jesus. Matthew 10:23, if we deny him before man, he will deny us before our Father. Accountability. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Do you have an accountability partner? You know, this is the second most important thing that we can do to ensure growth in our walk. Who do you surround yourself with? A bunch of people that are just going to tell you what you want to hear and make you feel good and, you know, pump you up? Or do you surround yourself with people that are honest and give you the truth in a situation? This is so important that I put the characteristics of a godly accountability partner on the back of this bookmark, because we all need to have one. We all need to have one. And what are these characteristics? First, they need to have a strong walk in the Lord. That needs to be first. That needs to be the most. If they don't have that, then pass. Pass that person. Strong walk in the Lord. They need to be able to provide you with godly counsel. Counsel based on the Word of God. Completely trustworthy. You can tell them something, and instead of gossiping and sharing it with everybody else, they're going to, in their hearts, bring it to the Lord, pray for you, intercede on your behalf with any temptation that you might be struggling with. You need to be able to bear your soul with this person and know that they're going to keep it to themselves and the Lord. Completely trustworthy. You need to have the freedom to be yourself. You know, this person is not there to change you. That's God's job. They're there to exhort you in the ways of the Lord. And if, you know, if you're struggling with pornography or alcohol or drugs or, you know, sexual sin, you know, they're there. You should share that with them where those weak areas are when you're falling. Don't go to the bar if you're struggling with alcoholism. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to share, hey, I feel like going over to, you know, I don't know what the name of the bar is, but whatever. And, you know, you need to be able to say, this godly accountability partner needs to be able to get you back on track and come alongside you and say, no, you know, let's pray about this. Can we meet for coffee? They need to be available for that. To exhort you, not change you. This person does need to be able to be strong enough to confront you when you are tempted to go down that path. And then what you do, you take that godly counsel, you line it up with the Word of God, and you pray about it. You take it to the Father. You get on your face, and you ask God, help me with this. I'm struggling. This is my weak area. And you have somebody that's going to encourage you and get you back and dependent on the Lord. Your very present help. They need to be sensitive to your feelings. You know, if you're somebody that cries easily, and they need to know you, you know, and get to know you through this relationship so that they're encouraging you in the way that you need. You know, sometimes we need that strong encouragement, and other times we need a gentle nudge. So they need to really know your personality, who you are, sensitive to your feelings. An encourager, someone who lifts you up. You know, if you're down, you don't need somebody squishing you down any further. You need them coming alongside you, giving you words of encouragement, telling you that it's going to be all right. God's not going to fail you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You will get through this. The waters will not overflow you. So they need to be an encourager, and they need to always, always, always have your best interest. It's not a place for them to, you know, come up and lord over your life. They need to, what is good for you. Speaking godly counsel. I encourage you to take inventory of whoever it is that you seek counsel from. Line up these characteristics and see if indeed, take it before the Lord and see if indeed you need to find another godly accountability partner, or you need to thank God for the one you have. And I just want to say, ladies, if you've been filling out 3, 4s, and 5s over here, mainly 4s and 5s, and most of us won't put a 5 because we're not that puffed up, because we know we haven't gotten to that step. But, you know, you would make a great accountability partner for someone else. Pray about that. Because like Carol said, we need each other, especially now. Things are going to be coming our way, and we need to have that connection. We need to be locked together and be strong for one another, and to know that I can count on this person, on each other, on the body of Christ, when persecution comes. You know, the reason why so many people don't come to faith in Christ? Because too many Christians don't take their Christianity seriously. Too many of us are Christians in name only. If you line my life up, or I shouldn't say my, if you line this person's life up, this Christian in name only, with a non-believer, and you looked at their actions, their outward doings, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. And we don't want to be that. We want to shine brightly. We want to be set apart. We want to be showing the way to the Lord. We want to be seeing those opportunities of ministry and speaking truth and in reaching out to the lost, because the time is so short, so short. Our Lord, He wants us about His business. You know, what is our ultimate purpose? I lived unsaved for 30 years. So I spent 30 years of sorrow, pain, agonizing, searching for the answer to this question. Why am I here? Why are these things happening to me? Why are my choices so crummy? Why have I gotten myself into this pit that I can't get myself out of? And I'm going to tell you the answer. It's Revelation 4:11. We were created for His good pleasure. That's why we're here. It's about Him. It's not about us and what we want. It's about waking up every morning and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. What is it? Let me see those opportunities. Help me to die to myself enough to make myself available to them. Amy Carmichael is a well-known English missionary who ended up in India and started an orphanage for girls rescuing them from this idolatry. They were being sacrificed to idols, and they are also being exploited in other ways, sexually, you know, slave labor, whatever. Very different culture in India. And her heart was to first, you know, go to England. She was there, and then God led her to India. And she started this Donover Fellowship in India. And her children, you know, she would write these letters to her children, and they compiled them in these letters of love. And what they did was they made them into devotionals. But in Amy's last years, she had this tragic accident where she was bedridden and isolated from her beloved children. And I want to share this excerpt from you because it comes from a revelation that God had given her, and I want to pass it on to you. The only thing that matters is to please me. That was the word that woke me a few days ago, and it has not gone away. When the thought of the things that I cannot do comes and tries to trouble me, this little simple word comes at once. The other things seem to matter, and I often think they do matter. But they are as though they did not matter in comparison with pleasing our Lord Jesus. Did God oversee Amy's accident? Did He know that she was incapacitated from much of the work that He had called her to do? Did Amy wallow in her isolation and her illness? No. She did what she could. She loved these children. She wrote them letters of encouragement to them. And it's much like Paul when he was in prison, writing love letters, and on the island of Patmos, giving us that revelation. That was John. Well, John did the same thing to encourage the disciples. You know, we have so much richness in the Word of God to encourage us and to keep us on track and to help us. And it's all so that we can live for His glory and to please Him. You know, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, mm-hmm. and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss of all things, and I count them but dung, that I might win Christ. So I'm challenging you today, ladies. I'm challenging you to sharpen your tool set, to grow up unto him, to use this as a starting point to dig deeper into the things of God. And he's given you these tools for a purpose, to glorify him, to honor him with them. And we need to use them to the best of our ability. So who is headship over your life? What are your spiritual gifts? Are you using them in service to the Lord? Are you feeding on the Word of God daily? Are you living a life of compromise? Or are you persistently loyal? Have you purposed in your heart to die for your Lord and your faith? Do you have a godly accountability partner? Does your heart confirm that you're pleasing God? And you'll know if it does, because you're going to have his peace inside. When trouble comes, you're going to be at peace because you know that God is faithful and true. And he always keeps his promises. Always. And he's coming back for us. So we have the hope of salvation. And we know that we can trust him, because as we use our spiritual gifts, he has been us there every time, and we're growing. And he's giving us more. So next year, take out your bookmark around February before you come to the retreat and see where you're at. See where you're at. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for just your word, Lord. Just for everything that you do for us, Lord God. We want to be strong soldiers in your army, Lord God. We want to see those lost, unsaved souls, and we want to go forth, Lord, in your power, in your might. We want to have a greater awareness of your presence, Lord God. And we want you, Lord, to be glorified, not us. We want it to be you, Lord, because we love you. We're so thankful, Lord God, for everything you have given us. I pray, Father, as we go out to communion and spend some time with you, Lord God, and in our free time, that you would use this. Work on our hearts, Lord God. Reveal to us the truth of our walk. And help us, Lord, to grow up unto you, to sharpen our tool set, Lord God, to be those living testimonies, Lord, that you would have us to be, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. We give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.